I invite you to turn with me to our text this Lord's Day as it's found in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The older that I get, the harder that it is to pass through a long, cold, northern winter. Perhaps you can identify with that as you are getting older. I know when you're young, maybe it's a lot of fun, but the older you get, it's just a little bit harder. It's harder to keep warm. There's less light. The trees are barren. The birds, the crickets, and the frogs grow silent. And the roads are most perilous at times. In the midst of that winter cold, I look forward to the signs of spring. Blossoming flowers, budding trees, singing of birds, and warmer days. Dear ones, God is the one who appointed the various seasons, even winter. And so these seasons of the year will continue as God has ordained, despite what climate activists declare about global warming or global cooling. Lord God says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. What God has appointed physically by way of winter and other seasons, so he has appointed spiritually by way of winters in your spiritual life. When your communion with Jesus Christ may seem to grow dark and cold, when trials and afflictions seem as though you are facing head-on a winter storm and you cannot seem to find your way, and when the signs of growth in your life seem to have grown dormant. Dear ones, remember Jesus is Lord over all those spiritual seasons of your life, as much as he is Lord over the physical seasons in the world. They are all ordained. Those seasons in your life, they are all ordained for your good. And the hope is that just as spring follows winter in the physical seasons of the year, so spiritual spring will follow spiritual winter for all those who are Christ's redeemed ones. It is that very hope, dear ones, that very hope that the Lord Jesus brings before us today, as he promises to bring his elect bride through her winter of tears and into her spring of rejoicing. Psalm 126, verse 5, we read, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." The main points from our text this Lord's Day are the following. First of all, Jesus brings his bride out of her winter cold. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And the second main point, Jesus gives his bride signs of life for her comfort. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Let us consider then our first main point. Jesus brings his bride out of her winter cold. Once again, in verses 10 through 11, we read, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone." By way of a very brief review, the Lord Jesus, you recall, had brought his elect bride into the banqueting house, into the house of wine, and made her the guest of honor at his feast of love. And the banner over her, she says, was love. In verses 4 through 7, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please." What a precious time of loving communion it was with Jesus, as the bride there remembers. "His presence was amazing," was her testimony. After feasting, however, in such close communion with Jesus and enjoying his nearness, the nearness of his presence with her, the feeling of that nearness of Christ's fellowship seemed to become more distant to her feelings, to her senses. She couldn't sense his nearness and closeness as she did with him in the banqueting house. This is not an unfamiliar experience to us all. None of us lives on a constant emotional high in our experience of communion with Jesus Christ. Sin, hardships, trials, persecution, and mere busyness may seem to put a distance between us and our Lord. Even when we continue to spend time with him in prayer and in his word, even when we attend upon the ordinances of worship, every Lord's Day we gather together to worship. However, as I indicated and as I remind you today, this is not an actual distance between Christ and his beloved bride, but only a perceived distance on her part. She can't feel it. She doesn't sense it as she did at one time. But dear ones, remember this. Remember this, faith yet realizes Christ's nearness even when feelings do not. Faith grasps hold of Christ's nearness even when you can't sense it. Then we saw that the Lord Jesus pursues his beloved bride and calls out to her in his word that he is near, And he comes bounding over the mountains and over the hills, over all the obstacles in her life to come unto her in verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. But as he draws nearer, he does so at times so gradually to form within her a hungering and thirsting for him and a holy and loving desire for his nearness. And he comes gradually, gradually, as we read in verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Comes ever so gradually at times. He seems, at least to our perception, to be hiding himself, though he's near, and that he's talking to us from behind a wall, not sitting us at that feast of love, at that table with the banner over us where we sense that banner. While we now turn to the words of our text in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10, where the bride recounts what the Lord Jesus said to her when he came to her, and as he was behind the wall, and as he was looking and peering through the window and through the lattice, he wasn't silent. He was speaking to her, as we now see. He was talking to her. And so she recounts to others what Jesus, her beloved Savior and King, said to her at that time when he was behind the wall, when he was looking through the window, through the lattice. And we read in verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me. Literally, she says, my beloved answered and said unto me. You see, Jesus was answering her words in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, where the bride is speaking. And now she recounts what Jesus was saying to her at that time. This is important, I think, because even when she did not feel like she was experiencing the nearness of a love feast, but rather hearing him from behind a wall or through a window, he was not silent. Jesus was not silent. He was answering her. He was speaking to her. Dear ones, the Lord Jesus is always answering you. Whether he's calling from a distance, bounding over the hills, or whether he's speaking to you from, as it would seem, behind a wall or through a window, or whether he's speaking to you as you sit with him at his table in Feast of Love, Jesus is always answering you. In fact, dear ones, his word is full of answers to your questions. His word is complete to all of your cries and to all your desperate pleas. His commandments and his promises are always true and faithful. Understand, it is not that Jesus, when you sense that he's at a distance, it's not that he is not speaking to you. It's not that he is not answering you. He is. It's rather that you and I are not listening to him as he speaks to us in his word. So many today in churches want to hear something new, something sensational from God. They want to hear the audible voice of God, just as Moses heard it from Mount Sinai. But dear ones, the Lord Jesus has no new word And his voice is never clearer or enduring than when he speaks to you through his word and by his spirit, which he has preserved for you throughout history. He has preserved and kept the Satan and all Satan's cohorts have sought to destroy the Bible, to burn it, to keep it from you. The Lord God has preserved it. And he continues to speak to you through his word. In fact, there really is no real communion with Jesus Christ that is not firmly anchored in his word, as found in Scripture. It is a deception of the enemy to make you think that you are not communing with Jesus if you do not hear an audible voice or do not have an overwhelming emotional experience. Dear ones, when he answers you, he does so with the words found in Scripture. That's why it's so important to feed upon the Word of God. To know that God is speaking unto you, children. To know that the Lord God speaks to you in his Word. Develop at a very young age the desire and the holy habit of reading his Word. Spending time with God. Knowing that he is answering your questions, they're all answered in his word. The question is, again, are you listening? Are you reading and are you listening to him? What did Jesus say to his chosen bride when he came to her from behind the wall, through the window, and when he answered her, what did he say? Well, he said a number of things. He said, rise up and come away. These aren't suggestions. These are commands from Jesus and imply that the bride was laid low. For her to rise up implies she was laid low. She was in some discouraged state of mind. It was a season of winter for her. She was not up and serving, but was lying down or sitting when Jesus answered her from behind the wall. Beloved, the difficult trials, temptations, pressures, and anxieties of life had brought a coldness of heart with Christ and a distance, at least a feeling of distance from him. A lack of feeling his presence had brought her down. She was so clinging to her past experience of his communion with her in the banqueting house that anything less left her downcast, disheartened, and rejected. Beloved, though those times of communion with Jesus, those blessed times of communion with Jesus, those high points, those times where we commune in his love and we sense his presence with us, though those times are beautiful and joyful, they must, dear ones, at the same time not become the standard by which you measure every other season of your life. Your growth in Christ is not measured by those emotional highs in past experiences, but rather by the perseverance of faith and clinging to Jesus and his promises. Even when God brings a Job-like winter upon you in which you do not feel his presence. Yes, even as his elect bride, we all have struggled We have all fallen down when the winter of extreme hardships have blown upon us. But Jesus will not leave you in that winter forever. Because just as winter comes, spring will come thereafter. He comes to you in his word and he commands you. He doesn't suggest, he commands you in love. Rise up and come away with me. You see, to come away with Christ, that's a command of faith. That's what true faith clings to. When we hear the promises of God, when we hear the commands of God, true faith clings to those promises. Rise up and come away with me. That language of coming and faith are united together. For example, in a passage like Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me." When he says, "Come unto me," he means lay hold of me by faith. Believe and trust in me when he says, "Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Note next in verse 10 that Jesus doesn't berate and condemn her with fierce anger and wrath, but rather appeals to her to obey him, that is to rise up and come away with him, to obey that command because of his great love for her. He calls her this, "My love, my fair one," that is my beautiful one. He appeals to his love for her in calling her to arise, to get up out of that period of winter, what she is going through. "Rise up, for I love you. You are beautiful to me, regardless of what you have passed through." Remember how the Lord Jesus came to Elijah, who believed that he alone stood for the Lord at that time of backsliding, and was so dejected, was so overwhelmed by way of discouragement, that he said, "Lord, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Just take my life." Notice he didn't take his own life, but he prayed, "Lord, take my life." But the Lord says in his word that he came to him in that dejected state of mind. He came to him, gave him rest, fed him, let him rest some more, fed him again, and sent him on his mission. Likewise, how did the Lord come to Peter? Peter denied him 3 times. The Lord Jesus came to him as Peter and John and some of the other apostles were fishing after the resurrection. John says it's the Lord, and Peter swam at the distance from the boat to the shore. And there he found that the Lord had prepared a meal, a fellowship meal, a communion meal with Peter, who had denied him, and for all the apostles who had turned their backs upon him during that time. No, Jesus doesn't come berating and condemning his elect bride because she's gone through a winter. In fact, he repeats these words of love to her. It's like he begins with words of love, and in this section, he ends with words of love. In verse 13, the closing words there in verse 13, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Once again, why does he repeat himself? Well, one time is good enough, but he knows us. He knows how hard it is for us to lay hold of that promise that he loves us. He loves us infinitely. God sent his only begotten Son. Jesus came and surrendered all to become a sacrifice, was a perfect and glorious and sinless sacrifice for us, and bore the wrath of God for us. I appeal to you, dear ones, learn to discern the source of that hateful, condemning recording that plays in your mind over and over and over again when you stumble and when you fall. Identify the source. Discern the source. Satan seeks to destroy you. He offers you no hope. He offers you no love. He offers you no forgiveness. He only berates you and condemns you. But your beloved Jesus comes to you even when you have fallen. And he convicts you of your sin in love with these words, "Rise up! Yes, you have fallen, but rise up, my love, my fair one, my beautiful one, and come away with me." The harshness and the fury of Jesus during his earthly ministry was reserved for those who refused to repent, who refused to rise up from their sin of pride and rebellion and self-righteousness like the Pharisees. However, his mercy was reserved for all those who were crushed at his grace and his love, in commanding them to rise up and come away with him in loving fellowship. Beloved, the only reason you have risen when you were laid low was due to his almighty and loving word to you, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me." You would not have risen up. You would have stayed exactly where you were if it wasn't for the words of Jesus that we hear here spoken to the bride, the elect bride. The Lord Jesus then says to his beloved bride in verse 11, "For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone." Here the Lord Jesus is giving reason why his beloved bride should arise and come away with him. The cold of winter that makes it so uncomfortable to brave the outdoors, and the heavy rain of winter in that part of the world. Here it's more snow than heavy rain during the winter. That makes it so difficult to travel. Remember, in ancient days, they didn't have paved roads. Rome had paved roads through various parts of the empire, but just in various places, so often in Palestine, were just roads that would be washed away. When winter came, the rains came, because they were just dirt roads. The Lord Jesus is saying these trials, like winter, these hardships of winter are past, at least for a season. Now spring is come. The Lord Jesus is saying, get up and come away with me. Get out of the house. Don't lie around depressed over the winter problems that you're facing. Get active. Come with me in communion. Let your thoughts turn from yourself to me and my love. So often, our discouragement and even depression remain because our thoughts are upon ourselves. There certainly are hormonal issues and reasons for winters that come in our life at times that need to be addressed by seeing a doctor, by getting the rest you need, by getting the nutrition you need, by getting the exercise you need. But also, dear ones, we can't excuse how often we remain discouraged and remain in those times, those winter times, because our eyes are not upon Jesus. They are upon ourselves, or they are upon others. They are upon the world in some way rather than upon the Lord Jesus. And therefore, we have no hope. I mean, we truly do have hope if we belong to Him. But we have narrowed that hope to where it seems like a little dot at the end of the tunnel because we're not looking to Him. One of the worst things you can do, dear ones, when you are discouraged or depressed, is to do nothing, but to lay around and to be consumed with that fall into sin, or to dwell on how people have disappointed or betrayed you, or to fall under the flood of discouragement because that for which you had hoped did not or has not yet come to pass, or to be paralyzed with fear. Fear of man, fear of circumstances, or to die a slow death of sorrow over the loss of a loved one who has died or who has backslidden. Your bedroom, or your house can become, in such a case, a grave to you if you do not arise. And become spiritually active in communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. To remain in that same winter mindset will only bring sluggishness, laziness, apathy, discouragement, or hopelessness. And I have been there as well as you. It is something that we as Christians have all faced to lesser or greater degrees. But the Lord Jesus comes as He did to His elect bride. He comes. He does not leave you. Listen. He's speaking through His word. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Arise. My love, my fair one, come away. Me. The second main point. Jesus gives His bride signs of life for her comfort. In verses 12 through 13. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. When the bride is discouraged and feels hopeless about some situation she is facing, Jesus comforts her, not only with His commands, His loving commands, arise, come away with me, but also with His expressions of love to her. My love, my fair one, my beautiful one, in order to take her out of her winter. But now He also comforts her to arise and come with Him because He reveals to her that this winter was but for a season. But that winter will never be an eternal season for His beloved bride. For He will make her to see His life-giving work in her and in those around her. Although, dear friends, we can always see our failures, we're all very good at seeing our failures. We're very good at usually, unless we're just filled with so much pride that we don't want to acknowledge our failures. But we do see our failures as we are humbled before the Lord. We see our besetting sins. We see our lack of spiritual fruit in many areas of our life, if we're honest. But do you know that Jesus desires you through his revealed will that we find here in this portion of God's word? He desires you to look at his work of grace in your life. He calls you to especially see how he is turning your spiritual winter into a spiritual spring of new life. I ask you, dear ones, where is the comfort and encouragement in the Christian life if you only remember the spiritual winters of failure and trial and sorrow and illness and betrayal and hardship? We all experience those winters in our life, but Jesus has come to every Christian in that spiritual winter and has given them his promise, his love, and his fruit to comfort you, that you are his. You belong to him. And your perseverance, your repentance, your faith, your love, your new obedience and your desire to commune with him are evidence he has worked his amazing grace and life within you. And he brings you into a spring to see that spring, spiritual springtime, to behold and see the work of grace that he has kept you, he has preserved you, and he is bringing life. Even when life seemed dormant, spiritually speaking, during that experience you went through, yet the Lord brings you to see that he is at work and he is bringing forth that work of grace in your life for you to behold. He wants you to see it. He doesn't want you to boast in it as if, look what I did. But he wants you to see it because that is encouragement to you. To know that God has not forsaken you. That he is with you. That he is for you. And that he is working his grace in your life. Jesus calls you, dear ones, to behold the flowers of grace growing in your life and in the life of others. He calls you to hear the sound of God's praise arising within you and singing his psalms, which is sweeter than the birds in spring. And when it speaks of a turtle here, children, it doesn't mean the animal with a hard shell, as if that turtle sings. It's talking about a turtle dove, which is a bird, and coos and sings in the springtime. And he calls you to smell the life of fruit trees and vines as they blossom and bearing forth the fruit of the Spirit. The grapes, he says, are tender, and they have a fragrance being tender, being not fully formed, but they are young. And so even when you see fruit that is not fully developed, praise God for the fruit that you see God producing in your life. Give thanks to the Lord. These are all ways that the Lord gives to us as to how to come out of that winter. Those winter experiences in our life. Be thankful. Praise him. Look for these works of God's grace. They are not hard to find. But we have blinded ourselves so often to not even looking. Perhaps we think it's wrong to look for them. thinking it would be proud for us to, or presumptuous for us to know what God is doing in our life or in the life of others. But no, the Lord calls you to see, to behold, to hear, and to smell all of His grace, His wondrous grace in your life. You need to plead with the Lord to reveal to you the signs of life within you, just as you plead with the Lord to reveal to you the sins into which you have fallen. The revealed will of Jesus, according to this text of Scripture, is that you live not continually in a spiritual winter of darkness and discouragement, but that you arise and come with Him to enjoy His spiritual spring of life and communion with Him. Dear ones, hear His call to you today. As He reaches out His hand, and take it, take His hand. As you hear in His word, rise up, come with me. By faith, grasp the hand of the Lord. And He will bring you out of that winter and bring you into that spring. And I believe, as I close today, I believe the Holy Spirit has chiefly given this text for the sake of the elect bride as you face those spiritual winters in your life, which you will, which I will. And the Lord reminds you that there is always hope that Jesus will turn your winter into a spring at His appointed time, and as you, by faith, grasp His word, which comes to you. But I also want to close with three brief applications that I believe further impress this truth upon our minds today. Three applications, closing applications. First of all, there is the winter and scriptural darkness in history, which the Lord calls His people collectively out of that winter and into the spring of light and life. Whether it be in Jesus moving His church from the winter of those shadows and those ceremonies of the old covenant into the spring of fulfillment in the coming of Jesus Christ in the new covenant. Or whether it be in Jesus moving His church from the winter of anti-Christian darkness and coldness under the papacy and the Church of Rome, and into the spring of Reformation, light and heat and believing and standing upon Scripture as supremely authoritative rather than tradition. Or whether it be in Jesus moving His church from the winter of great persecution in the past or in the future and into the great spring of gospel prosperity, as He will do in the millennium as He reigns from heaven over the earth and the nations, all the nations flow into the kingdom of God. There's a second application. There's the winter and darkness of death, spiritual death in every soul by nature, being dead in our trespasses and sins. But Jesus has come to you, His chosen people, His elect bride. He has come to you and has spoken to you by His almighty and all-loving word. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Just as He raised Lazarus physically from the dead, so He has come and He has spoken those words. Rise up, effectually calling you, His people, out of death and darkness, and brought you into the kingdom of light, out of winter and into spring and growth. As you did respond in faith to the gospel as you did believe and lay hold of those promises made to you, as you heard Jesus speak, rise up, and you said, I will hear that word and cling to that word to rise up. You who hear his voice calling you today, I speak to you all. You who hear his voice calling you, rise up. You who, young or old, have not come to Jesus Christ by faith, hear his word. Rise up and leave behind your winter of death and darkness forever, that he may carry you into his spring of everlasting life. And finally, the last application. There is a passing from the winter of this world of corruption, this world of sin, this world of tears, this world of heartaches, this world of pains. There is a rising up, a passing from winter and into spring, yea, even into summer in heaven, the glories of heaven, where only his love, where only his holiness, where only his joy, where only uninterrupted communion with him will reign forever. Here's our hope. Based upon our text today, here's our hope, dear ones. Life follows death. Joy follows tears. Spring follows winter. Hope follows discouragement, hardship, trials, and pain for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand with me in prayer. How we rejoice, O Lord, at this message of hope, for we all know those winter experiences. But our Lord, just as in the world physically spring follows winter and shall until, Lord, the end of this earth and the end of time, our Lord, we do glory that spiritual spring will follow spiritual winters. And our God, we thank thee for giving to us this reminder today. And we would lay hold of that promise even now. Any who are in a time, a winter season, Lord God, may they lay hold by faith and hope of thy word. May they not wait for some great emotional experience, but may they know this is the word of God to them. This is the answer of Jesus Christ, even to their discouragement, even to their despondency, to their sluggishness and apathy. This is the answer. May they lay hold of this by faith and in trust in Jesus and his promises. Our God, thank thee. We praise thee for thy faithfulness to us. We, our Lord, are so unfaithful to thee. But we praise thee, our God, that thou will never give up. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.